You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
And this is The Blitz. I'm your host, Matt Hicks, the FF Educator, joined as always by John Lobb, the Gridiron Scholar, and Skip Newman. We are back here with our CFF College Fantasy Football Show, giving you all the news and notes, matchups, waiver wires, sleepers, best bets in DFS for week one of college football. Gentlemen, we got a little taste of week zero action, but week one is the big show. We have games on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and even one on Monday. It's college football Monday night. How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm great. I might not leave my lounge chair for about 72 hours. If it wasn't for eating and going to the bathroom, I might literally melt into the chair. There's just so much football to watch. I am so fired up.
It's really exciting, and I'm beginning to wonder, why do we have any night without college football? They just make it somehow have at least one game every day of the week. I know in a couple weeks it's going to be all about the NFL on Sundays, so I suppose I can take that day off, but man, it's awesome during the week. Like, there's a game on tonight. It's fantastic. I love it.
Skip, I have the answer for that. It's called spouses. It's so that we can have. All right, gentlemen, let's jump right into the news and notes here because there is a ton. Now, as always, I'm going to run through these news and notes quickly. And at the end of it, I'm going to ask you for your biggest takeaways here. Let's start it off with UTEP redshirt freshman Deion Hankins. The running back looked good this past week. He's considered to be doubtful for week two. It was a favorable matchup for college fantasy football taking on Bethune-Cookman, but it doesn't look like we're going to get it. Arkansas sophomore wide receiver Treylon Burks with an undisclosed injury is still considered to be questionable. Now, gentlemen, we record on Wednesday night. We publish on Thursday morning. So as of Wednesday night, Treylon Burks is still considered to be questionable. North Carolina wide receiver Bo Corrales, however, has been ruled out of Friday's game against Virginia Tech, and we're going to talk about the ramifications of that a little bit later here on today's episode. BYU redshirt freshman Puka Nacku, undisclosed, is expected to be available for Saturday's game against Arizona. That could be significant as BYU looks to move on in their passing game after Zach Wilson. A couple notes from the Illinois game. Head coach Brett Bielema does not anticipate redshirt senior Brandon Peters being available on Saturday. Now, gentlemen, even the fact that it's possible for Brandon Peters to be available over the next couple weeks is an encouraging sign because that looked like an immediate collarbone injury, which means Arthur Sikowski will be the guy to get the start there for Illinois. Sophomore running back Chase Brown, who had an undisclosed injury last week that set our DFS lineups on a little bit of a tilt, even announced as the starter, had the graphic and everything there on the screen. He is expected to be available to play against UTSA. Alabama redshirt freshman Jaleel Billingsley is not injured, but he was listed as a backup tight end. Reports are that he was in Nick Saban's, quote, doghouse here over the summer. So just keep an eye on Jaleel Billingsley. We're going to see if he's going to get some serious playing time in week one or not. Texas freshman wide receiver Troy Omeri knee will miss Saturday's season opener against Louisiana. However, Texas freshman Xavier Worthy here is expected to start, and there's a lot of hype around this young speedster. LSU's running back John Emery is expected to start Saturday versus UCLA. Tyrion Davis-Prince is also set to play, so they will continue to split that backfield. USC's wide receiver Gary Bryant apparently is healthy with a hamstring injury, but will miss week one anyways based on health and safety protocols. We have And Mississippi State is just giving us lots of confusing signals here. Apparently, Mike Leach has suggested that Jaden Whaley is no longer the wide receiver one for Mississippi State. Ugh. He named Will Rogers the starter, then named him the co-starter, and then suggested again today that if the season started today, that he would be the starter. So proceed with caution with Mississippi State. Isaiah Bowser, remember the Northwestern transfer? He was named the UCF starting running back. Now, that's interesting in a Gus Malzahn system here. We could once again see Isaiah Bowser as a volume play. And then on the other side of the ball here on Thursday's matchup, Boise State wide receiver Stephon Cobbs is named the starter in the Z position. Apparently, it was a quarterback battle there as well. Hank Bachmeier officially named the starting quarterback. I don't think it was ever a battle, but that's Boise State. Fellas, any news and notes that jumped out to you in particular or anything I missed on the rundown?
For me, there's just two real big items. If you play college fantasy football, you're going to learn things like Chase Brown are going to happen and you're going to go on tilt. There are no injury report mandates like the NFL. I had Chase Brown in my DFS lineups. I think he got 4 or 5 carries. He was the starter. I was feeling good, and nothing happened. I was literally on tilt by about, 45 minutes into the opening game. So there, that is just going to happen, unfortunately, every once in a while. Treylon Burks. I went through my starting lineups today on my 8 teams. I benched Treylon Burks on all the teams that I had him on, and here's why. Arkansas can beat Rice without Treylon Burks. I believe they're nearly 20-point favorites. There is no reason from a coaching staff perspective to play Burks in this game. I'm not playing him in college fantasy football.
Boy, that's great advice, John. I'm glad you said that because I do have Treylon Burks in at least 2 or 3 leagues. So I think that's wise advice, and I'm going to follow that. So I like where you went with that. You know, there's a lot of Devy implications into this list as well, and I don't want to get too into that. But yeah, Burks was one guy I was going to mention. Of course, this doesn't hurt his Devy status at all. No. But the other thing that I'll touch on now, but I'm going to get into more later when we get into matchups, is the LSU running back situation. And of course, we're fearing the dreaded running back by committee, which could very well be the case. But I really would want to see if somebody can step up there, whether it's Emory, whether it's Davis Price. I don't even care who. I suppose a couple of my leagues do, but you know, just we want to see one guy kind of take at least the majority of those carries. That would be fantastic. That's what I'm looking for, and I'm really bummed at some of these guys that are injured and not playing. I get it. It's the right way to go, like O'Meary in Texas. But like you said, Matt, that just opens the door for the incoming freshman, which is exciting.
All right, well, Skip alluded to it. Let's go ahead and jump into our marvelous matchups here. So this is our top 5 matchups of the week in terms of over and under. So it's not what we're setting. We're following the Vegas lines here. And we're trying to list contests here with a point difference of less than 10 points. So, you know, certainly at the beginning of the season, you could get some very large spreads. Now, I'm sure it surprises absolutely nobody here that the largest over-under of the week is Louisville at Mississippi, 75.5. And so Ole Miss is laying 9.5 points here. John, there's nobody better to talk about Ole Miss.
Oh, man. And it concludes the weekend on Monday night. I mean, I want to see this Saturday at noon, but I got to wait the entire weekend to see Louisville at Mississippi. And how excited. I mean, they clearly are the projected highest scoring games. Last year, Mississippi scored 39.2 points per game and had 555 yards per game. Louisville scored 29.5 points per game with 444.2 points per game. Now, college football, there is turnover, but you have the same coaching staffs, the same systems, and both offenses return their starting quarterback. So I expect both of these offenses to click right away. Also, neither defense is very good. Ole Miss surrendered 38.2 points per game, and Louisville gave up 26.6. So I love it. Obviously, we know Matt Corral and Jarian Ealy. Braylon Sanders, Jonathan Mingo, Dontario Drummond, and John Reese Plumlee, the former quarterback wide receiver. You could put them all in. You can. If you want to, with an over-under 75.5, you can put them all in. Don't shy away from it. Louisville, I think you have to play Malik Cunningham. We haven't talked about him a lot here, but he's going to be playing catch-up. I like him. And I'm very excited to watch running back Jalen Mitchell of Louisville. It's going to be a very interesting game in him. So I like all those as starters.
All right. I think you got that game nailed down, John. I absolutely think you could throw on as many folks as you want. Skip, why don't you talk to us here about LSU at UCLA, over-under of 65, and it's a bit closer of a spread here, and it's moved down. LSU just getting, or I should say UCLA just getting 3 points here.
Yeah, you got to love LSU if they're anything like they were last year, because they not only put up a lot of points, but they gave up in oftentimes many more. And that is a fantasy dream come true. Great offense, horrible defense equals fantasy goodness. So I'm going to start with the obvious play, and that is wide receiver Kayshon Boutte. He is an A grade. It's really simple on this guy. You never bench your studs, and he is a stud. So just as long as he's healthy, you're playing him. It really doesn't matter. He is matchup proof. Quarterback Max Johnson won the job. I like the situation. I'm not going to talk about him from a Debbie perspective, but from a fantasy perspective, he's a solid quarterback. I mean, I give him a B grade. When you're the starter in a high-scoring offense, you really can't go wrong there. Then we'll get down to those running backs. I talked about, you know, the running back by committee fear. So you've got Davis Price. You've got Emery. I like them both. If they're playing again in a high scoring offense, it's tough to say which one you can play. You might need to wait this one out. The other guy I've got kind of a C grade on is Trey Palmer, the other wide receiver. Interesting play. We might need to see who steps up as the gimme number two there in LSU. So that's where I've got the LSU team at. For UCLA, a lot of B grades, of course. Quarterback Dorian Thompson-Robinson, if this gets to be a shootout, he's got the rushing upside, and the matchup makes him a very good start. And at running back.
Hey, Matt, give it to me. Give it to me, Skip.
Go ahead. Let's get it over with. Get the gloating on Zach Charbonnet. You earned it.
Hey, you got to play my man Zach Charbonnet. I'm telling you guys.
All I can say is if he scores on half of his carries all season long, he's probably going to set some records. He absolutely busted out 6 carries. It was over 100 yards, 3 touchdowns. Tough to go wrong with that. You know, he's not playing Hawaii, but he's still got a great matchup. So, you know, until he proves otherwise, keep playing him. I mean, he's hot, and maybe he finally found a home. The other guy I really like, tight end Greg Dulcich. He is one of the number one targets at UCLA, and he would be my first start on this team over any of the wide receivers.
All right. Certainly one of the highlights of the weekend. I'm going to make sure I'm watching LSU UCLA. I'm going to see if UCLA can, you know, put out a similar performance as they did against Hawaii, but we'll get to that a little bit later. I got to tell you, fellas, one of the ones that I am struggling with this week, Oregon State at Purdue, 68.5 is the over under. Oregon State's only getting 7. I actually thought they'd probably be getting more out of this.
Me too.
Oregon State does not have a good roster. I could be totally missing on this, but I don't know how they hang with Purdue, and I don't know how you get an implied total this high for Oregon State. I don't see their offense putting that up. Fellas, if you look at the numbers here, the under has 66% of the money right now. Wow. I would be smashing the under. You know, in terms of players to look for, you know, you certainly have to, of course, have David Bell out there for Purdue. You're looking at the running back situation. You know, this could be a great game for Horvath, who led with 89 rushing attempts last year, just 2 touchdowns, and, of course, a shortened season for Purdue. But I think Horvath could lead the way. King Drew could get some work there in a rotational role. That's who I'm really focusing on. I'm not sure I'm really interested in the Oregon State offense. And fellas, you can tell me if I'm missing on that, but I just don't see it.
I don't think you're missing on it, Matt. It's one of those games that you look at the over-under, it pops. But when you go study the rosters, you're like, I'm not sure who I want to grab. So it's one of those games where I watch it. I want to see who the targets go to, who the carries go to. But other than David Bell, I don't necessarily think you have to start anyone in that contest.
All right, John, a game that I am much more excited to see the offenses go to work is Texas Tech in Houston. We get a Texas shootout in week one.
Absolutely. We got a Power Five versus a Group of Five. Texas Tech averaged 29.1 points per game, scored, had 429 yards, and gave up 36.7 points per game. They brought in Tyler Shuck at quarterback. I expect Texas Tech to be much better this year and more efficient throwing the football than they were last year. Now, the backfield is a conundrum in week one. We have Sir Roderick Thompson is questionable. Xavier White has flashed at times last year. If I know on game day that Xavier White is the clear starter and going to get the majority of the touches, I might be interested in him if I have an emergency start. But right now on Wednesday night, there is some confusion there. At wide receiver, we know Eric Azuka-Ama is the stud there for Texas Tech. I like him. Play him. But Kalen Geiger, the former receiver from Troy, has won the starting job. He is very interested in this game. I like him also. Now, the other side. Houston has been disappointing the last 2 years. Remember, Derek King left the team after four games under Dana Holgorsen. Then last year, Clayton Tune did not live up to the expectations. But when I looked, their numbers were pretty good. They scored 30 points per game and produced over 400 yards per game. And what we love about fantasy, they gave up 32 points per game. Houston, Clayton Tune is a must start. I don't like their backfield. I think it could be a running back by committee. Tajon Henry, Mulba Carr, excuse me. We're not sure. Stay away from it until we have more clarity. But Nathaniel Dell, the wide receiver, should step into the number one role for the Cougars. I like him. Put him into your lineup, folks.
All right, Skip, take us home here with a game that I'm certainly excited about. It's going to be the Tar Heels traveling to Blacksburg to take on the Hokies and Justin Fuentes, who desperately needs to make a statement in week one.
Yeah, I'm going to start with North Carolina, and my number one fantasy player from this game might surprise some people, but I just can't quit this guy, and that's running back Ty Chandler. I've always liked him. I thought he never got the real, full-fledged opportunity to showcase his abilities and what he can do. I think he's going to get that to start North Carolina. He transferred there from Tennessee. He's got the starting role. I'm sure they're going to find another guy just like they did last year, with Williams and Carter. But Ty Chandler is the guy for now, and they returned their entire offensive line, and that offensive line was dominant last season. And so I think the rushing attack is going to be absolutely crucial. I love Ty Chandler in this game, especially because Sam Howell, the quarterback, lost a lot of his weapons. They've got an injury, which we already talked about earlier today. So I'm knocking down Sam Howell just a little bit because, again, we're not sure, who is he going to throw to? Is he going to be able to maintain that high level of excellence that he's had his first two seasons? I'm not saying I'm down on him. I'm just saying I'm going to be a little more cautious here, but I still got a solid start grade on him, as well as I think his number one receiver this game is going to be Josh Downs. He's really the best returning receiving weapon from a year ago. So I really like Josh Downs in this matchup. So those are my North Carolina starters. I think you can start them with confidence. Virginia Tech, that's a little harder for me. I picked out a couple of wide receivers because I think they're going to have to throw the ball, Trey Turner and Tavion Robinson. But boy, the rest of these guys, it's a lot of question marks and nobody that I'm feeling a whole lot of confidence about. So those are the two guys that I picked on this roster for now. They might be more of a wait and see team and see how things kind of develop as the season gets going here.
All right. Well, there are insides for the highest over-unders of the week. By the way, I did not actually say it. The over-under for UNC and Tech is 64, and UNC's laying 5.5 there. We're now going to jump to our waiver wire segment here, where we've each put together a set of waiver wire targets here, a quarterback, running back, wide receiver, flex, and team defense. And we'll go person by person through our picks here. So, John, I'll let you go ahead and start us off with your waiver wire picks for week one.
I'm looking at players for long-term value this early in the season. We've had roster changes. We've had injuries. So you might need someone. So these are players who might want to be your third or fourth player on your roster at the position, someone you just want to put up because they have value down the road. My quarterback this week is KJ Jefferson, Arkansas. 6'3", 245-pound redshirt sophomore. He's only owned on 24% of Fantrax leagues. I'm excited to see KJ Jefferson develop this year. In the backfield, I'm a big fan of the Indiana offense with Michael Penix. As long as Penix is calling signals, I like it. We found out that former USC running back Stephen Carr won the job. If you're playing for Indiana with Michael Penix, I'll take Stephen Carr, 6'2", 215 pounds, only 31% owned on Fantrax. Last week, I had talked about as a sleeper, Jacob Cowing. What did he do? He went out 5 receptions for 158 yards and a touchdown. He's only at 28% of roster still. I picked him up too. I'm like, I ain't letting Jacob Cowing sitting around. I got him on 2 rosters. We found out this week, Hudson Card was named the starter. Ladies and gentlemen, 6'2", 200-pound redshirt freshman, a dual-threat star who was a 4-star prospect by 24/7 Sports. He's in a loaded offense if it clicks under new coach Steve Sarkisian. Only 29% of rosters. Go pick him up. And if you're like me and you stream defenses, the first 4 weeks are loaded with defensive streams. I look for home teams with 20-point favorites. Love the Aggies. -29 this week. Pick them up if you need a stream in defense.
All right. I love that. So my picks here, I kind of took a similar approach with John, with the exception of one player who I specifically like this week a little bit more. My first one is quarterback Nick Starkle. Now, of course, San Jose State was playing Southern Utah last week, but I liked a lot what I saw from that offense. Nick Starkle, a former Power 5 quarterback. Specifically this week, folks probably are not going to be targeting him because he has a tough matchup against USC. If you've got room at the bottom of your roster, I'd say claim him this week and stash him for some of the better matchups coming ahead. Now, probably, if you're playing with sharps, David Bailey probably is not sitting on your waiver wire, but I've noticed David Bailey available more often than you would think right now. Remember, the former Boston College running back is somebody who we are a big fan of. I think he's going to get volume for Colorado State. I would look for him on your waiver wire. We were talking a lot today with the CFF Sharps here in some of our industry chats about Billy Kemp and what's going on with the UVA wide receiver room. I'm not sure exactly what the Wahoos have going on there, but I know Bronco Mendenhall is excited about his offense, and I know Billy Kemp led the way in volume last year, so I'm willing to look into him and a potentially surprise roster or a depth chart note, I should say. So did I cut out there? I did, didn't I?
You did for a second.
Yeah, you're back now, buddy.
Where'd you lose me?
You were talking about the Billy Kemp.
It was Billy Kemp. Okay, so I think – I'm not sure who's going to lead the way for the Wahoos here, but I'm going to take the guy who put up the most volume and had the most opportunity last year. And when we come to my flex spot here, I'm going to go Troy Franklin, the wide receiver out of Oregon. He was a surprise addition to the top of the Ducks depth chart. And if they don't put it together this year, I'm not sure when they will. In terms of team defense, Arizona State, they're getting Southern Utah this week. San Jose State blanked them 45-0. I'm pretty sure that Arizona State could do the same. Skip, take us home on the waiver wire.
I'm going to get into my picks really fast, Matt, but I just got to ask you, I love the Troy Franklin selection. Does it mean that my love for Devin Williams is misplaced? Because I can't stop loving this guy, and I'm really concerned that he's not a starter.
I think there's a ton of talent on Oregon. I think they're going too deep in their rotation, and I think that's a really good thing for us overall.
Okay. Thank you. I feel better. I appreciate that. All right. At quarterback, I'm starting with Haynes King. For those of you who haven't heard, he won the job at Texas A&M. That's a great offense to be the starting quarterback of. He's still available in over 50% of leagues, so you definitely want to snatch him up and put him on your roster. Now it's going to feel like I'm the pro Maryland show, as I've got Tayon Fleet Davis, running back from Maryland, and then Dante Demas Jr., another wide receiver also from Maryland.
Love to see it.
Both of them are available in a lot of leagues. They're starters. I think that's going to be a better offense than what people might expect. So I really like these guys as sleeper picks. And then my flex position, I'm going back to running back, and that's Noah Cain at Penn State. He has got the number one job this season, at least to start. He's been impressive. You know, all the talk at camp has been Noah Cain is definitely the guy. I want the starting running back at Penn State, and I think he is the guy to own, and he's still available, so pick him up now.
All right, gentlemen, in a similar vein, we've each identified a set of Fantastic Four CFF sleepers, guys who can make an impact this week that you may not be expecting to. John, I'll let you kick us off here.
Skip talked about him earlier in the show. Max Johnson, LSU. If he's still on a waiver wire, you got to get him right away. And if you drafted early in the summer, Max Johnson was not necessarily the starter at LSU. So he might be your third or fourth quarterback. Put him in your lineup. Put him in your lineup immediately. Just one of my favorite players in a great matchup. Raymond Davis, Vanderbilt. They are playing East Tennessee. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that is East Tennessee. The Commodores are going to try to run the football down the throats of East Tennessee. Love Raymond Davis. Skip had mentioned it. He previewed that UNC-Virginia Tech matchup. The Hokies are going to be playing from behind, I believe. Game script tells us that. Huge over-under. If you're desperate, you need a flex or a fourth wide receiver, Tavian Robinson, Virginia Tech. I like him in this matchup. And I'm all in now on this running back. I've inserted him into the flex spot on a bunch of my rosters. I actually think I put him into four of my rosters for this week's upcoming game. Israel Abakanda versus UMass, ladies and gentlemen. This is how bad UMass is. They gave up 273 yards per game and 40 points per game last year. The Panthers are going to destroy them up front. I love Israel Abakanda this week.
All right, John, I like that note. I was trying to find a sleeper from the Pitt offense because I love the matchup, and I'm glad you found it. I'm going to start here with Will Levis. And he kind of has a negative reputation because folks wanted him to win the job at Penn State. He couldn't beat out Sean Clifford, but he does beat out Joey Gatewood at Kentucky. And week one, Kentucky gets UL Monroe. Levis, known for being a dual-threat quarterback, and you all know if there's nothing I love more than dual-threat quarterbacks for fantasy football. So I think Levis is a sneaky pick here in week one. This is an interesting one at the running back position. It's a little bit against the grain. It's Ricky Slade. Now, remember, Ricky Slade transferred from Penn State to Old Dominion, and he's going to get Wake Forest week one. You normally wouldn't think, let me take the smaller school against the Power 5 team, but gentlemen, this is Wake Forest, and I think Old Dominion's going to want to slow down the game. I think they're going to want to try to control the pace of play, and I think they're going to be leaning on their transfer, who they had to wait an entire year to use. Remember, Old Dominion didn't play last year, so I think they want to show off Ricky Slade. And at week one, before folks really jump on, I would try to sneak him into a lineup here. I have Emory Simmons for the North Carolina Tar Heels as the wide receiver. I believe will step up for Bo Corrales. You know, certainly they're going to be working a lot of guys in, but he was next up on the depth chart. I think he was actually listed as the starter on their initial depth chart. So I'm going to go with Emory Simmons as a CFF sleeper for this week. And we talked about him earlier, but Tyler Shuck, a negative taste in folks' mouth because he transferred from Oregon, but he has a big arm and he's playing in the Texas Tech offense, one of the highest over-unders of the week. I'm going to go with the gunslinger here. And Skip, I'm going to pass it off for you for what I believe will be, oh my gosh, some more Terp love.
Yeah, it's all about Maryland for me this week. Got to start off with quarterback Talia Tungavaiola. I like this kid. I think he's got a lot of talent. I think he's a dynamic athlete. And that's what you want in fantasy. So definitely need to pick him up and play him. He's a great option this week. Hassan Haskins at Michigan. I know the whole college football fantasy community is down on Michigan because they don't seem to do very well with the players when they're on the roster. And as soon as those players leave, they all absolutely go bonkers, aka Zach Charbonnet. But he is a starter. I like Michigan's matchup this week, so I got to go with him. Sky Moore from Western Michigan. Game script should put him in a good position to put up a lot of points. He already does that on a regular basis anyway, so look at Sky Moore. Very good wide receiver. And then I'm going with Ches Malusi at Wisconsin. I think everybody was super high last year on true freshman Jalen Berger, just expecting that he was the next guy to come into Wisconsin and be the next great Wisconsin running back. I mean, literally, they've been kicking out awesome running backs since I was in college. We're talking early to mid-90s here, folks. I'm not sure that Berger is the next guy. He could be, but he hasn't earned that title yet. Malusi's a starter now. I'll take that in that offense because they usually put up big yards, so he's the guy I want this week.
All right. I like it, gentlemen. We're going to transition into our All-American bets section here. Now, this is actually a pretty fun one. Last week, we kind of let John take the lead, but me and Skip said we need to get into this. So here's what we're going to do. Each week, we're going to each pick. So John, myself, and Skip, we will all pick one game each against for the point spread, one game for the over-under, one game for the money line, and we're going to keep track of our season record here. So John is 1-0 because we gave him the best bet last week, and he nailed it. We were also tracking here for folks who use the Tally Site website. I make a pick, point spread, over-under, money line for every game every week, and you could track my record there throughout the year. I scored very high on NFL last year, so we're doing college as well. I was 8-4 last week picking the game, so I felt good about that. And we're going to get Skip on board for this week here. So, gentlemen, let's start with the point spread. John, tell us your bet of the week here. You only get one, so make it good here. We're picking against the spread.
Navy can't stop anyone. They can't stop the run. They're not any better. Marshall. I don't like necessarily to take a road favorite here, but I'm taking the Thundering Herd. They are going to pound Navy, -3, guaranteed.
Gentlemen, it is offensive that the UNC Tar Heels are only getting 5.5 against Virginia Tech. I'm beside myself. That's my lock it in pick of the week. You give me one pick, UNC is winning by more than 5.5 points against Tech. That's absolutely ridiculous. Skip, finish us off with the spread.
I just have to preface this by saying that my picks are for fun. I am not a handicapper. Please don't go out and put money on these games saying this is what Skip told me to bet. That is not going to go well for you, I promise you. That said, I like Clemson. They only have to win by a field goal to push. I think they can do better. I love DJ Uiagalelei. I think that offense is going to come out firing. And it's a primetime game, right? I mean, this is one of the feature matchups of the week. Put a little bet on it. Makes it a lot more interesting. It's a TV play. Go Clemson.
All right. So you heard that, folks. Bet Georgia. All right.
That's exactly right.
let's run through our over-under picks here. John, what's your pick here for an over-under line?
People are going to look at East Carolina and Appalachian State, and they're going to think of offense because the teams have been productive. But there's changes. App State plays great defense. The Pirates might not score 2 touchdowns in this game. I'm taking this on the under 56 points, and Appalachian State's going to bleed the clock.
All right, I'm going with Nevada, Cal. The line is 53.5, and I don't think that's quite enough, gentlemen. Nevada's got an explosive offense. I think they're going to push Cal. I think it's going to be a close game here, and I think that they're going to work themselves over 53.5 points. I'm looking at this line. I'm doing out the numbers. I'm thinking if Nevada puts up 4 touchdowns, that'll be enough, and I think it is well within reach here. So I'm taking the over 53.5, and Skip, bring us home.
I talked about LSU and UCLA earlier as a great fantasy matchup. It's great because they're going to score a lot of points. I'm going over 65. It's more fun to bet the over. Who wants to root for nothing to happen? I want points. UCLA showed us last week that they can do it. LSU, they score a lot. They give up a lot. This feels like a safe play for me.
All right, John, money line.
I'm going for the low-hanging fruit. Wake Forest is a 31-point favorite. I thought they would be minus 200. On DraftKings, they're only minus 155. I'll take my low-hanging fruit. They're going to win this game. Wake Forest minus 155.
All right. This line has actually moved. I got it at Penn State. Well, I should say I didn't put money on this game, but I made this pick at Penn State plus 185. It's now at Penn State 190. So it's actually swung a little bit in Wisconsin's direction here. But I like it. It's only a 3.5-point spread. It was a 3-point spread. So it seems like the money is actually moving towards Wisconsin right now. But I think we're writing off Penn State. A lot of close losses last year. They finished with strong momentum. They're returning a lot of guys on the offensive side of the ball. And I don't think Wisconsin is as complete of a team, certainly, as maybe we're expecting it to be. I'm expecting a close game here at plus 185, plus 190. I'll take the Nittany Lions. Skip.
I hope you win that, but that could be my Gopher fandom coming out of me. Just saying. I like Nevada in this matchup against Cal. I'm really putting my money on Carson Strong is what I'm doing here. So I'm going to take Nevada plus 140 to win the game over Cal. It was the one that kind of popped out at me in the money lines. Hopefully it'll play out.
All right, we're going to bring it home here with DFS lineups here. I actually entered this lineup here on the DK DraftKings slate later for Thursday. So if you're listening on Thursday, you should always make sure you listen right away when the show drops, because we're going to give early week insight here. But my full slate here, Jaden Daniels at 8,500. Guys, I don't care if he plays one half. All right, I think he's going to score enough points here in one half. So I'm paying up for Jaden Daniels. Zonovan Knight at 6,100 against USF. I think that's a good value. I think the Wolfpack get up early. And I think Zonovan Knight could stay on the field through the third quarter here, so I'm happy with that. 5,600. I'm going with Tyon Evans here for the Tennessee Volunteers. Tennessee's in an interesting situation. They're playing Bowling Green. I don't know if they're necessarily going to take their foot off the gas. And transfer Tyon Evans looks to be at the top of the Vols depth chart. At just 5,600, you're getting a starting running back against Bowling Green here. I think his price will be adjusted quickly after week one. I'm paying up for Jalen Robinson, playing in a very high over-under. I expect Boise State to make UCF pass through the game here. And I'm going a little bit cheap here. I've spent up, so I need to get some money down here, fellas. I need to save the salary. Kyle Williams for UNLV. 6,400. I think he'll lead the way in targets for UNLV. So I'm going to try to save some money here. I don't understand. I think a great value is Ramel Keaton at 4,300. Ramel Keaton was a huge part of the early offense at Tennessee last year. He kind of got phased out later on. Josh Heupel is going to throw the ball. That's what I expect, at least. So I'm going to go 4,300 Ramel Keaton. And then I'm going real cheap here. Xavier Weaver, USF, 3,000. He's minimum salary here, but I think he could be the lead volume guy for USF. I don't expect them to perform super well here, but I need a cheap stash here. And so I'm willing to go low, take a shot on Xavier Weaver. And because I went cheap on Weaver, I was able to get another quarterback here in the super flex. And I wouldn't suggest putting him in all your lineups, but Joe Milton here on Thursday and just the Thursday slate, you stack him up here with Ramel Key. And I mentioned it. I think Heupel wants to make a statement, fellas. The Tennessee fan base needs to feel good about the team. And I got to tell you, for a lot of games this year, they're not going to be able to. Against Bowling Green is where Josh Heupel could say, here's the offense that you have to look forward to. All of that leaves $200 on the table, and I'll pass it off to you, John.
I'm going to finish it up with the Saturday slate and give you my Fantastic Four this week. Some of these players we've already spoken about today. Spencer Rattler and Breece Hall are on the slate. They cost a huge amount of your salary. So I had to find value for you here. Hudson Carr, the Texas quarterback. Usually you pay over $7,500. He's only $6,900. I took him because he has rushing ability. Sheldon Evans Marshall is the running back. He's going to start for the Thundering Herd. He's only $4,700. The Herd are going to smash Navy. You need a salary savings at running back. I love Sheldon Evans. Skip talked about him. Hassan Haskins, Michigan, starting running back against Western Michigan. I just don't think Western Michigan, the Broncos, can stop the Michigan run game. I'm taking Haskins here, and I'm going to pair up Hudson Carr with the freshman, the redshirt freshman, Xavier Worthy, who's only $4,700 at Texas. Salary cap, $22,500. It gives you plenty of money to make decisions on Spencer Rattler and Breece Hall. That is my Fantastic Four for this Saturday slate, everyone.
All right, there you have it. DFS, best bets, sleepers, waiver wire, marvelous matchups, and all the news and notes you need. Make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you've left us a 5-star review, and make sure you're checking out all of the podcasts here on the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. We will be back in your feed tomorrow with the Devi Seminar, as always.